You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Coulson. This is Minute 44. This minute opens with Elizabeth being hit by the storm, and ends with David getting the reckless humans back to safety. Ellie goes flying and hits one of the legs of the ship with a fair amount of force. Charlie is right behind her on the ATV, but is blown away by the storm as if it weighed nothing. Yannick is now forced to close the bay doors, but there's no way they would have been closed before the storm hit. And yet, it seems to have not been a problem for the rest of the crew, and the next time we see this set, everything looks relatively fine. Charlie grabs onto Ellie, and the only thing that seems to be preventing them from the same fate as the ATV is that they are wedged into a corner and are able to grab onto parts of the ship. Now that the door is closed, it seems like they are trapped there. That is, until a smaller side door opens and David emerges. If you look closely, there is a second crew member standing behind David. Just a minor detail I never noticed before. It may be Ford, given that they are wearing an EVA suit, and she would be the only one suited up, unless Jackson insisted on continuing to wear his suit, even though he didn't go with the... We've covered that. We will never know the answer to that. I can't praise enough how beautiful this movie is. In this minute, we have moments that look like a Rembrandt painting. Kind of chiaroscuro technique where you have these rich colours against immense black shadows. As Ellie and Charlie struggle to hold on to one another, they seem to float in an endless, inhospitable abyss. The colour palette is perfectly chosen. The blues and yellows just work so well against the dark. Comparing this to the behind-the-scenes footage of the same scene, it doesn't even seem like they had to do much colour grading either. Once David reaches the humans, we get a shot from above. Suddenly we can see where everything is in relation to each other, and we can see the scale of things. This is almost an inverse of the shot from the previous minute, the distant shot that showed us how vulnerable the crew was against the storm. But this shot here reassures us that everything is now under control, that things aren't as big and chaotic and scary as we thought. That's some terrific use of wide shots. As a kid who grew up with westerns, especially those by Sergio Leone, I've had a fondness for negative space, for showing how immense the environment is and how small our characters are against it. It's amazing that there are very few digital effects even in this sequence. The parts of the Prometheus that we see, the cargo bay, was real. The vehicles are also real. The storm is partially real. They obviously heightened it in post-production. But the actors really were dangling from wires pummeled with strong winds and debris. If you watch the Furious Guards documentary, you can see how they filmed the scene. It didn't look like fun for the actors, in fact they were pretty roughed up and bruised by the end of it, but they seemed to enjoy it, and I say it was worth it considering the end results. It is incredible to think what CGI was like only 5 or 6 years ago. They were wise to keep digital effects to a minimum. If they had used CGI doubles or face-replaced stunt doubles, it wouldn't have seemed as real. They did use stunt doubles for some moments, but you can't really tell. Either way, it is real people really doing this, and whether you consciously think about it or not, it does feel more convincing. I very much admire Scott's commitment to practical effects. That's not to say digital effects are bad. You forget Thanos is CGI for the most time when you watch Infinity War. But Ridley's philosophy to get as much of it on camera as you can is a solid bet that it will look convincing and that it will stand the test of time. And, as mentioned previously, supposedly, it is often cheaper and easier than going the digital effects route. There was a lot of planning and testing involved to make this scene as safe as possible. And all this when the set wasn't complete until the day of shooting. They had 4 massive wind machines, about 15 to 20 crew members dumping all the dust and debris in front of those fans. The debris looks a bit like gold glitter. I'm not sure what they used for certain, but they definitely would have needed something that would catch the light against the dark. They had to film it at night too. And this was England in the winter, so you can see the cast all wearing these heavy jackets over their EVA suits, which are already neoprene, so it must have been incredibly cold. But all the actors were evidently keen to do this scene. Logan Marshall Green and Noomi Rapace both wanted to do as much as possible rather than handing it over to a stunt double. I can understand that. I think most actors love a challenge and it's just something fun and a bit dangerous. It would have been a pretty thrilling experience. And I have to wonder if that's what draws actors to these kinds of projects. Most other films mostly involve standing around and talking, but on a film like Prometheus, you get to go on what is the closest thing you will ever know to a real space adventure. To explore these cool sets and locations, to do all these stunts. Sounds like fun to me. It walks a line between acting and a theme park adventure. Overall, this scene is just so great. I am fully immersed. It's intense. It feels so real. And while I did complain about the weak premise that led up to this moment, all is forgiven and forgotten when the characters are struggling against the storm. It really feels like a life and death struggle, and I do tense up a little bit whenever I watch this scene. I've included some photos in the footnotes of what the set really looked like. Alright, that about covers it. This is Coulson, signing off. You can find me on TravianDesigns.com, TravianDesigns, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.